Okay, great to see everybody. Baruch Hashem, good to be back learning the Mesillas Yesharim. We are holding here in the middle of Perek Yud Aleph, the Perek of Prate Midas HaNakiyas. Again, we're talking about the Midah of Nakiyas. Nakiyas means the things that a person may rationalize because of their great desire for them. Right? It's not things that are black and white usher. It's definitely usher, but a person kind of views them as gray areas because of their great desire for them. So that's Nikias, and we try and talk about, you know, what a definition of Nikias is: removing yourself from that equation and trying to view the action in question as a third party. And the last thing we had talked about, again, if you're following on the text, so we're on page Samachay, page 65, in the Feldheim Mesillas Yesharim, with the paragraph that starts Ode B'Inyan, right, the third, that long paragraph there on the page. If you don't have that text, it's about 7 or 8 pages into the 11th parak. So basically, last week we talked about theft and arayos and inappropriate relationships. So now the Ramchal is going to jump to some other halachos, some related, some not. We're not going to get through the entire parak. As you can tell, it's very long. So we will try and get as far as we can. So basically we're on page Samechei, and the Ramchal moves right from the realm of arayos to what he calls arayos of the mouth. Right, it says Od Binyan Znus Hapeva Ozen, which is znus is inappropriate relationships. So he says that the equivalent, right, that's an action, those are maisim, those are what you do with your body, and this is already talking about that type of action with your mouth and your ears. Now this, again, just to clarify, right, we discussed theft and we discussed arayos, we didn't talk about, like, obvious isurim, right? We didn't talk about highway robbery, which everybody knows is usur, or sleeping with your sibling, which everybody knows is usur, right? We talked about more rationalized isurim, like things you do in business, halachos of business, and paying people, etc. We talked about yichud and negia and stuff like that. So the Ramchal is now moving over to an area of halacha that we basically call, right, in the vernacular, nibble pet. Right? Nibble pet, inappropriate speech, talking like a bum, has many subcategories. Right? Obviously, it refers to cursing, but also different types of inappropriate speech, right? Also in the arena of arayos, right? Of speaking inappropriately, speaking in a non-sneous manner. As Ramchal is going to give an example, let's say, Mr. Shem, you go to a wedding, and someone crudely mentions what's going to happen after the wedding. So, obviously, terribly inappropriate and frankly disturbing. That's nibble pet. That's associated with arayos. It's not only dirty jokes that you hear from, you know, every comedian ever, but it's also, you know, speaking inappropriately with a certain levity and frankly distaste. So Beit Esther Ramchal says that is what we're talking about over here. Not the obvious isurim, just like not by theft and by arayos. We're talking about that. We're talking about the kind of like isurim that we'll explain in a second, that a person speaks inappropriately, but it may not realize, he may rationalize because he wants people to like them, she wants to make a funny joke, she thinks people will laugh, etc. But things that we may not necessarily internalize, or we'll try to rationalize. The Ramchal here quotes in this first long paragraph a bunch of sources referring to, you know, talking about nibble peh and the isurim and the I guess how serious it is, right? He quotes the Yerushalmi in Trumos, velo yira ebecha, ervas davar. Pasuk says you shouldn't have any ervas davar, any arayos, and the Gemara Darshan's ervas dibor, right? The zed nibble pet, right? That person shouldn't have any inappropriate speech. Right? He quotes the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos, Lama Gimel, has a bunch of mamari chazal about how bad nibble pet is. The Gemara says, he quotes over here that Bechuri Sonem Shal Yisrael Mesim Chas Shalom, that the young people of, you know, young literally means the enemies of the Jews, but that's whenever the Gemara wants to refer to the Jews, he doesn't want to say anything because it makes an Ayin Hara. So it says the young enemies of the Jews, which means the young Jews, God forbid, will pass away from this. Same Gemara keeps on saying that Gehenna gets deeper for these people. 70 years of righteousness and one bad comment. This is where the Gemara talks about a comment about the bride and groom on the wedding night. Right? The Gemara says, if a person is righteous for 70 years and one crude comment at a wedding flips the entire person's judgment at the end of his life on its head. Gemara says that it's very comparable to Lashon Hara in the sense that even if a person hears Nivul Peh and doesn't say anything, and it makes the Kadosh Baruch Hu angry. What's going on over here? What's the real nekuda over here? What's the real issue? So Rav Miller, as I said several times, I learned in Mesillas Yesharim by Rav David Miller, so he explains, it's basically an insult to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Koch HaDibor. The Koch HaDibor, the ability for humans to speak, is, and obviously to process in their brains, but that is played out by our speech, is what sets us apart from animals, other creations, etc. Right? We have the Koch HaDibor, we have an ability to speak. And we are defiling it. We are defiling this unique ability that God gave us that's supposed to set us apart. So it's like a rebellion, it's a rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I thought perhaps that's why it's associated with Arayos, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this desire for intimacy in order that we should reproduce, etc., etc. And people defile that with our human instinct and don't deal with it in a holy way. So it's the same issue. Right? We have this amazing ability to speak. No one thinks about it. No one pays any attention to it. We just spit out words and type words and etc., etc. And perhaps it's the same issue. Now, while it's definitely true, now the Ramchal continues over here, just to flip the page on Daf Samach Vav, he says that if it's definitely true that if a person speaks in an inappropriate way, in a dirty way, they make dirty jokes, lewd jokes, etc., they're obviously more liable and more apt to fall into violating those types of Isurim, right? Obviously, a person who talks about Rachman al-Slan, their bride and groom on their wedding night, is much more likely to violate the Isurim of Arayos. A person who talks about theft, as we talked before, is more likely not to care about other people's money if that's all they do is they make these types of jokes. But, says Ramchal, that's not the only reason it's Aser. Right? Very often the Yetzer Hara, well, we'll get to this in a minute, but very often the Yetzer Hara, right, gets us to violate Yisurim because they rationalize, that's just to make sure you don't do something else. Right? Like at least definitely Muktzah is the obvious example. You can move, it's fine, you can move that pen, it's just so you don't come to write with it. Obviously you're not going to write with it. So that's what the Yetzer Hara at times does to us. And that's what the Yetzer Hara would say here. Right? It's the issur to not speak appropriate of not speaking appropriately is not just because you might come to violate Arayos, theft, etc., etc. Right? It's not like if a person could theoretically say, I guarantee that I'll keep my actions 100% clean, all I'm going to do is make dirty jokes. But it won't lead to anything. I'm just going to make dirty jokes. It won't lead to anything. I know myself 1,000,000%. So that's still usher. Right, the inappropriate speech is still usher, right? Even if a person says that the halachos of nivul peh is just to scare you off from the actual iser, that's another rationalization of the yetzer hara. Right, there are plenty of really surim over here. The Ramchal just got done quoting a bunch of gemaras or quotes a pasuk in Yeshayahu. There are a bunch of really surim here. Right, just like there's an issur of lashon hara, there's an issur of rechilus, and there's an issur of nivul peh. Right, it's not just the problem is not just that a person will become looser in their morals. Because of the joke. The joke itself, the speech itself is inappropriate, right? There's a way that a Kosh Baruch Hu wants a Ben or a Bas Torah to talk. Right? We like the joke all the time. There's a reason there's a stigma of rabbi jokes. Because A, they're bad, but B, they're appropriate. And very often those, unfortunately, because of the human psyche, those often go hand in hand. Now, the best comedians are able to make appropriate jokes that are funny. But you know, okay, whatever. But tachlis is that pasuk, you know, again, that nivul peh is also in and of itself, not because it'll lead something else. Now, and again, it has the line over here on page 66. Nivul peh hu ervaso shel dibur mamish. That nivul peh is the arayos of speech, right? As we quoted before, there's a concept of erva of inappropriateness for actions, right, physical actions, and there's an erva for speech, and we'll talk about the erva for thought in a second. But there's a realm of erva for speech that's nivul peh, right? Just like the flavor of pig, right? Actual pig, not like fake, you know, like they make fake bacon bits. That's not what I mean. I mean like the flavor of actual bacon, even though you're not eating the actual bacon, is aser. Right, it's not if you eat pig bacon soup, even though there's no actual bacon in it, it's still usher, even though you have the flavor. Not because you may come to eat bacon; it's because it's usher, because the soup itself, the flavor itself, is usher. It's the same thing with nivul peh. It's not because it's going to lead you to arayos. Right, it's intrinsically usher. And ein hakanami says Ramchal, even though there's a slippery slope, and it's definitely true that a lewd person is more apt to do lewd things, but that's not what we're talking about over here. Right, it's the incest of speech. Right, the erva of speech, the perversion of the koch hadibur, which is the problem. Now the binyan hamachshava on the bottom of page 66. So Ramchal says again, by quotes a pasuk. I guess it's a pasuk. Yeah, the pasuk. V'nishmarta mikol davara, guard yourself from anything that is bad. And he says, the Gemara says, right in the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, she'yo yaharher adam bayom v'yavol lidei tumah balayla. A person shouldn't think inappropriate thoughts during the day, and then come to maybe inappropriate actions at night. Any type of tumah, right? Quotes another Gemara, etc. Now, in a sense, right, I guess the next Gemara is probably what I'm going to talk about right now, right? The Gemara says in Yuma that hirhure avera kashame avera, that the thoughts about an avera are worse or more difficult than the actual avera. Now, Rav Miller explained that, what does that mean? Right? Obviously, if a person, now, it does not mean, right, that if a person thinks about stealing something and then refrains from stealing it, right, it would have been better for him to actually steal it. That's not true. Right. But, in a certain sense, a person's thoughts of doing an avera are worse than the actual avera itself. And Miller explained, not that I understand this entirely, but the Nefesh HaChaim, which is a sefer written by Rav Chaim Volozhin, same person, talks about basically the basic Kabbalah 101. So, right, you guys are starting college, so Kabbalah 101, and he basically explains there that a person is made up of Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. I'm not sure I understand this entirely, but nefesh relates to a person's actions. That's closest to the physical world. Ruach deals with speech, and then neshama is in the world of machshava and of thoughts. And the neshama is what's closest to Kadosh Baruch Hu. If you're thinking about a hierarchy of we talk about here in the Seil Shem about a ladder, so we talk about a hierarchy. The neshama is closest of those three to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So a flaw in that area, right? A flaw in the area of thoughts is perhaps of greater importance, seriousness, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu Rachmana Liba Boy. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants our hearts and our thoughts. Kadosh Baruch Hu is interested in what we think internally as well, right? But on the flip side, and perhaps this is why the Ramchal just spends a couple of paragraphs on it, and he does actually say this straight away, that thoughts are obviously very difficult to control. Right, obviously, very difficult to control. Nikias in the realm of machshava means not to allow these inappropriate thoughts to continue. Right, not only to rationalize that, oh, it's only thoughts, it's totally fine. Right, but to say, hey, listen, these thoughts in themselves are intrinsically usur. Right, inappropriate thoughts are, as we said before, they are rayos of, right, actions, speech, and now inappropriate thoughts are rayos of machshava, of thoughts. Now, in Echonami, it is very difficult to control a person's thoughts. Rav Miller tells a story about a Hasidic Rebbe. Someone went to him and said, Rebbe, my thoughts are all over the place. They're pulling me in all different types of directions. I can't control myself. Right, lusting over this, that, and the other thing. So the Rebbe said, there's someone who can help you. Right, go to this, Shlomo the innkeeper. Right, he's in the middle of nowhere. But by the way, you have to get there before 8 p.m. because between 8 p.m. and 7 a.m. right at night, right, the inn is locked. So obviously, as you might imagine, as always with these Hasidic Rebbe stories, the guy goes, and obviously there's a snowstorm, and he got there late, and it's 8:30, he's banging on the door, screaming, shouting, I'm going to freeze, right? Obviously, door is locked, no one's there. Obviously, he spends the night out in the cold, freezing. At 7 a.m., door opens, and, maybe yell at him a little bit, but goes inside, spends a couple of days, comes back to the Rebbe and says, I don't know what you're talking about. The guy's nothing special. Just a random guy. So why did you send me to this random guy in the middle of nowhere? So the Rebbe asked him, what happened when you got there? He said, well, I got there a little late and the door was locked. And it wouldn't open no matter how hard I knocked or banged or yelled. So the Rebbe said, everyone has a door. Like, you can lock the door. If there's a will to lock the door, you'll lock the door. So you can lock it. Right? You can lock out the machshavas. You just need to learn how. Right, everyone has a door. That was his most of the time. And this is a tremendous lesson for us nowadays, especially when we let everything in with our phones, our screens, etc. There needs to be a door. Right? People think of thoughts as impossible to control. Again, you see the phrase in old literature, you have thoughts unbidden. That's like the phrase, that thoughts come to you without any... But it's not true, Tachlis. Right? Whatever a person surrounds themselves right with during the day, as Gemara said, right, whatever you surround yourself with during the day is what you're going to be thinking about at night. Right, if you watch 15 episodes of Incestuous Housewives of Sodom, so I don't know, you'll have thoughts about Rahman al-Islam, cheating on your husband, however subconscious it's going to be. Obviously, I'm not saying that is direct, but it's however subconscious it's going to be, that's what's going to be in the back of your head. Right? If you're listening to a shiur about not speaking the lepe, right, or elul or whatever, so that's what you'll be thinking about. Now, obviously, sometimes it's not always true. Sometimes thoughts come in, whatever, fine. But a person very much can control the things that they see during the day, and therefore the thoughts that, the majority of thoughts at least, that come to their head, right, after the fact. So that's basically the end of Machshava, right? It doesn't really elaborate so much about Machshava. And again, he's covered up until now theft and arayos, right, which are outlined here because, you know, they're both very complex and have a lot of details and a lot of aspects to it. And on top of that, a person has a tremendous desire for both of them. And so that leads them to rationalization. So now he switches gears here on page 67, on page Samuk Zayin, right, to another arena, which a person desires very much, and therefore rationalizes being lax in the halacha, and that is machalos asuros, treif, and all its accompanying halachos. Right? A person obviously desires good food. Now, it's not on the level of the previous two, but obviously people desire this. And then, says Ramchal, there's another level here, which is that there's a money aspect. It costs a lot of money. If you don't know, ask your parents. It costs a ton of money to keep kosher. If you ever walked into a treif, supermarket. I remember once I was recruiting in Dallas. In Dallas, in the supermarket there, they have kosher sandwiches, right? Again, I need a kosher sandwich. I'm going to take it on a plane or whatever. I wanted to have some, you know, a couple sandwiches, deli. So I remember I picked up a sandwich and I went to the register and it rang up. I forget the number, but it was too cheap. It was like $3. And I was like, what is this? $3 for like a pastrami sandwich? Like there was no way. And I looked at it, sure enough, and it was treif. They put the treif sandwiches in the fridge, basically next to the kosher sandwiches, with just a very slim divider. So I was like, I literally didn't eat treif. I was saved from eating treif because it was too cheap. Right? So there's definitely, says Ramchal, there's an aspect of, you know, it costs money. So people will obviously rationalize, right? Well, I don't need that hechsher, this hechsher, whatever it is. There's a combination, says Ramchal, of a desire to eat good food and to save your money, which only increases the rationalization. But says Ramchal in the last paragraph on page 67, "Vamekel behem b'makom she'amru lahachmir eino ela mashkis nafsho." Fascinating, powerful language. Someone who is lenient, right? Someone who is mekel in this area of kashrus, doesn't say like, "Oh, you can eat treif." He says eino ela mashkis nafsho. He is destroying his soul. It's very powerful, right? He quotes a pasuk over here in Parsha Shmini, right? That velosit tamuba hem benitz mesem bam. Don't become tamei through, right, treif, because you will become tamei through it, right? And that's what Chazal explained, that when a person eats treif, so the person is defiled, contaminated, whatever you want, whatever phrase you want, right, through these foods. And he says over here, ki amalachos, I'm just reading at the end, ki amachalos asuros machnisim tuma mamish belibo uvenafsho shel adam. Treif food puts and enters or increases, whatever it is, whatever you machnisim, it means to enter, but like the food is causing to enter, whatever, causes tuma mamish, actual impurity, actual tuma, into a person's heart and into a person's soul. Until the holiness, right, leaves you and gets far from you, right? It's fascinating, but it's like the parallel, the easy parallel is like drugs. Is again, not maybe perhaps marijuana, although I don't know, maybe there are new studies about that. But everyone knows that, like, let's say hard drugs, cigarettes, everybody knows that they're bad for you. They're bad for a person's health. Right, so, but there is a strong desire to, I guess, take them. So just like there's a physical health that a person can damage by taking stuff, there's also a spiritual health. Right? Usur food damages a person's spiritual health. Period. Full stop. That's what Chazal tells us. It's ingested into the person, it becomes a part of the person, and then a person becomes desensitized to Kedusha and to Kosh Baruch Hu. Rav Miller tell the story about the Stipler Gaon, that lived in Hatzisrael in Bnei Brak, and died 50 years ago, maybe, Mashkazet. Anyway, he said, and the story goes, that he claimed that 100 years ago, there were people who were walking around, let's say in the 1850s, whatever it is, there were people who were walking around who were gaonim, who were geniuses, holding in everything. And not like the Gedolei HaDor. Like, there were tons of these people walking around holding in all of Kol Torah Kula. Nowadays, much fewer. Says the Stipler, I don't understand. There are so many more people learning now than ever before, probably. Right? Yet there are much fewer, right? There are very few Gedolim. There are much fewer people who are just holding in everything. So why is this true? So the Stipler felt, what has happened between the 1850s and now? So, or let's say 50 years ago. So the Stipler felt it was the Industrial Revolution. He said that not because people were eating pork, fascinating, it's very interesting to think about, but the entire food industry, basically in the last 150 years, or let's say 100 years ago, became industrialized. Right? So no longer were people kind of growing wheat in their backyard and shechting their own cows. Now there's a processing center and a gathering center and all these types of these different types of stuff. There's a factory for shechita. Everything, you know, you have no idea what's getting into the machines and the factory to making bread or whatever. Now, again, I'm not saying that we're eating bugs with our bread, but there's certain halachos that, you know, once you're manufacturing on a grand scale, there's certain halachos that people are lax at. For an example, it used to be that there was a shochet in town, right, a butcher in town, and he would shecht every cow and he would inspect it and put it in his store. And every cow got a check, every shechita got a check, and it hung in the store. And again, you know, he salted it, whatever, put it away, and people bought it, and that was it. Nowadays, shechita places are factories. Right? The shochet doesn't check his knife after every shechita. That would be a tremendous waste of money. It would take him forever. So we rely on different halachos of roe. Well, I guess must be most cows are, well, I don't know about cows, but definitely chickens. Most chickens are kosher, so we'll check for this, we won't check for this. There are all these different types of halachos that we kind of skip over because we're manufacturing so fast. So the Stipler felt that it was because of machalos asuros, that inevitably people were eating things that were being metamtei nalev and causing spirituality to distance themselves from a person. Okay, I don't know if it's true, but that's the Rav Miller said. So the Ramchal says here, that, again, that machalos asuros caused a person to lose their relationship with the Kosh Baruch Hu. Not only that, caused a person to lose their seichel. And that's, again, that's what the Stipler was talking about. On page 68, in the second line, ki misalekes mimena hadea hamiti v'ruach ha-seichel shar Kosh Baruch Hu nosein l'chasidim. A person loses their seichel, their intelligence, and their wisdom, their ability to discern between Kedusha and Tumah, right, from a Kosh Baruch Hu. Right, again, a Kosh Baruch Hu is giving them. Right, Pasuk says, ki Hashem yitin chachma. Hashem gives us the chachma, but a person is unable to receive it, right, because of what he puts in his body. He's like a spiritual sieve. Right, so this is what machalos asuros does. Right, more, right, worse than all other isurim, even though obviously other isurim remove a person from a relationship with a Kosh Baruch Hu. But since the tray food becomes part of the person himself, right, it has a much more profound effect. And says the Ramchal, it's not only treif mamish, it's not only pig, it's also kosher food that, for example, wasn't treated properly, wasn't shechted, as I said before. Miller said back in the day, I don't know if it's true now, I don't think so, but there was something called kosher style, that just like people kept kind of like, you know, sort of not really Shabbos so much, they were just like whatever, they also kept kosher style, which basically meant that they would eat kosher animals, but with no regard for halachos or shechita or whatever. Or nowadays, you know, you have different types of echsherim. There's OU and there is triangle K. Right? And sometimes the difference, again, sometimes the difference between them are not so big. The Ramchal here gives an example that the difference between a kosher shechita and a non-kosher shechita, right? A kosher shechita cuts, just for basic sake, cuts the entire windpipe and trachea of the animal. A non-kosher shechita cuts, let's say, for example, one of them. Right? That's not a lot, but one is completely treif, and one is completely kosher. Right? The details matter. So there's no such thing as almost kosher. Right? So the rationalization tends to come in nowadays, right? As you know, as we mentioned, right? With people, unfortunately, you know, will try and cut corners in this area. Right? People will try to cut corners for monetary reasons, and they're negligent in these types of halachos. So basically, Nikios says, right? This midah says not to do this, not to do this. Don't cut corners by kashrus, by what you eat. Now, so says Ramchal in the third paragraph from page 68, how does a person do this? How do you rise above the temptation of to be lazy? Okay, this halakha, that halakha, yayin nesach, chalav stam, right? How do you rise above the temptation to to eat, you know, these types of things. So the Gemara says, but he says specifically over here, you should think of these machalos asuras as if they're poison. You should think of the treif as if it's poison. Right? There was a story about one case in Washington State that some idiot pharmacist put poison in some sort of medicine bottle instead of the medicine, and no one ever bought that medicine ever again, even though it was like one in a million chance. So, and rightfully so, I wouldn't take that stuff if there was ever a mistake like that. So just like we would do for our body, that for our body, so we should do that for our soul as well. Right? I had a shaila today. Right? Someone asked if they could eat Rabbanut. Now, I don't want to get into the whole Rabbanut Mahadran thing in Israel, and Rabbanut is kosher. I don't want to make any mistake about that. But the attitude of the person asking the shaila was, well, maybe if I go to the Rabbanut store and it's old, it's like, it's not... maybe it's just coffee, or maybe it's just this type of milk, or maybe just almond milk, maybe just so. Again, and I appreciate where they're coming from, and I totally get it. But the attitude shouldn't be, where do you cut corners in kashrus? The attitude should be, right, how do I keep myself safe from poison? And again, Rabbanut is not poison, it's not treif, and whatever. But that discussion is for an Eretz Yisrael. But a person should view, kosher as if there's kosher and then there's poison. Right, people who are lenient with poison would be looked like they're meshuggah. Right, are you crazy? Like if you had 10 pills and one of them was poison, would you put a pill in your mouth? No, of course not. That's crazy. So that's simple intelligence. So that should be the same thing for like kosher as well. Right, if you haven't heard of this hechsher or whatever it is, so stay away from it. Right, unfortunately, people don't necessarily stay away from poison of their soul because they tend to rationalize. Okay, the Ramchal now, again, switches gears again. As I said, this parak kind of moves kind of fast. Once you get past Geneva and Arayos, is that now, on page 69, fascinating. Isurim that come up with social gatherings. Right? And as you might imagine, right, all of them are related to inappropriate speech, not like the inappropriate speech we talked about before, but other types of stuff, as we'll talk about in a second. Right, honas devarim, which is, as he translates over here, which is verbal abuse, which is, okay, it's not a great translation, but it's fine. Habanas panim, embarrassing people in public. Hachshalas iver be'itza, giving bad advice. Rechilus sinna, okay, we're just going to do the first three, and then I think we'll cut it, because there is what to say about all of them. But he goes on to honas devarim over here, right, in the third paragraph, right, we talked about onah by money, right, we talked about fraud and overcharging, but there's also onas devarim, which is just you and your friend speaking to your friend and embarrassing them, right, speaking to them in a hurtful manner. Now, kavachomer, if you do it in public, right, that's much worse, that's albanas panim, that's the next one. But any action that embarrasses them, right, kozi gavarim above matzia, right, that if don't remind the Baal Tshuva of someone that they'll be embarrassed by. For example, the Gemara talks about Psukim and Eov, that Eov was sick, and his friend said to him, well, if you were just a little firmer, you wouldn't have been sick. Right? That makes a person feel terrible. Don't say that. Right? Or if a person asks for advice, right, where should you buy something? Right? If he wants to buy ice cream, don't send him to the butcher shop. Right? He's going to be embarrassed, especially if he doesn't speak Hebrew. That might sound really funny, but he's going to be embarrassed when he says, he wants ice cream, and the butcher looks at him like he's crazy. Right? Don't set up someone for a situation of embarrassment. Right? That's like half of reality TV, just putting people in embarrassing situations. Right? And he quotes over here, that's worse than a nos mama. Right? Again, once a person's self-esteem is taken away, right, it's very, very hard to rebuild. And kal v'chomer, if it's in public. Right, what Gemara says, or the Pasuk says, the Gemara says, no, the Mishnah is saying, Avos, yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, that someone who embarrasses their friend in public has no share of Olam Haba. Right, it's probably not worth it. Right, even if it's really, really funny, losing your Olam Haba over a joke is probably not worth it. Right, he quotes, Ramchal quotes over here, a terrifying Rashi in the Gemara Bava Metzia. Gemara Bava Metzia, Daf Nun Tes, says, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at Am Yisrael, right, let's say, for example, Rachman Slan, God forbid, Hashem is angry at Am Yisrael, and all of the gates of prayer have been sealed. Gemara says there's one gate that remains open, and that's what's called Sharei Ona'a, the gates of Ona'a. And what does that mean? So Rashi says, the gate of someone who's been crying out because they've been verbally abused. Which means that if someone has been verbally abused, or embarrassed, or whatever it is, and cries out to Hashem, and you're the one who did it to them, God help that type of person, because no one's tefillos are getting through except for this guy, right, or this girl. Tara, you do not want to be on the receiving end of a cry after someone has been embarrassed. Right? Gosh Baruch Hu promises to listen to that cry, even if all other gates of davening have been sealed. Again, Ramchal quotes more Ma'amari Chazal. I do want to kind of move a little forward, and we're not going to talk about all of them, but basically he speaks about how bad Onos Devarim is. Basically, Be'inyan Yisina Sa'itza, right? Just not to skip that second paragraph, but just to mention quickly, right, that there is even Onas Devarim by Mitzvos, right? Again, we start talking about rationalizing, speaking badly to someone. We're talking about rationalizing and avoiding rationalization. So this is an issue that comes up by Mitzvos. Right? For example, let's say by Tochacha, if you're giving someone Musar, right, you can't embarrass someone just because there's a Mitzvah to give them Musar. Right? To embarrass someone in the context of a Mitzvah is a Mitzvah Bala Ve'Avera, right? It's not a Mitzvah. Right, just like we saw by Mamon, that a person can't deprive their employer of their time, right? Even do a mitzvah, right? We talk about employees are not, at times of the Gemara, not allowed to say the entire Kriya Shema, not allowed to say the entire benching, right? So, same thing over here. A person's not allowed to embarrass someone just so they will do tshuva faster, right? That's not a thing, right? The rationalization, I would imagine, is very strong for that, but the avera still is very serious. Okay, next paragraph, he moves on to the realm of giving advice, right? Very often, a person has their own interests in mind, right, when giving advice. Right, again, the pasuk says, "Lifnei iver l'sitei michshol." Right, don't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. What the Chazal explain is that someone comes to you for your advice, don't lead them the wrong way. Right, a person needs to give someone else advice as if nothing personal is at stake. Right, nothing personal. And unfortunately, when people come to us for advice, almost every single time, even if you don't realize it, a person has their own interests in mind. Even if you are not related at all to the question, at least your own reputation of appearing competent or knowledgeable, for example, this is very tough for rabbis. Very difficult to say, I don't know. Right? And I remember a student once came to me and said, Rabbi, I really appreciate you. You really know how to say, I don't know. So I couldn't tell if it was a compliment or an insult because I guess I didn't know so much. But okay, whatever. But basically, so that is definitely very difficult for someone to do. And certainly someone who has an actual stake in the question at hand, right? For, you know, whether for them or someone else, right? Someone asks you about a shidduch, someone asks you about a business deal, and you're personally invested. Certainly that's important to try and weed out all the rationalizations. And it's important, says Ramchal here, not to lie. Right? If a person asks you about a shidduch and you're trying to get someone married, let's say the girl is, I don't know, a bit older, so you bend the truth and you lie about something, or worst case, maybe she's usher to marry this person, like certain coin situations, that's what we're talking about. Don't rationalize, don't lie, midrar sheker tirchak, stay away from lies, take your own interest out of the picture and judge it with objectivity. That's what Nikias tells us to do. Speak to someone's best interests, not anyone else. Right, someone again gives you advice or asks for advice, let's say about a yeshiva or a sem. Don't steer them just to your seminary because, you know, it may not be the best place for them. Right, only cheshbon you should take, right, is what's best for that person. Obviously, there's a lot of examples of this, but we'll just go a little further. But obviously, you can come up with many examples of rationalization by giving advice. How is a person supposed to give advice? So again, we said, he says over here, Ach zos hi chuvas ha'adam ha'yashar. This is the obligation of the yashar person, right? It's called mesilas yasharim, right? The path of the yashar. So for a yashar person, the path of the just, I don't like that translation either, but for a person who's going down the right path, right, going up the right ladder, right, how is a person supposed to give advice? Again, I'm on page 71 if you're following on the text. So the Ramchal says that a person should give advice as he or she would want to be advised if they were asking the same thing. Right? Put yourself, right, in the other person's shoes. Right? The only factor should be, right, what the other person's best interests are. And says the Ramchal in this paragraph that if the best advice for your friend would harm you, for example, you're in sales and they're in sales and they ask you for a tip, or you're in investments and they're in investments and they ask you about an investment in XYZ. So if they get that investment or they get that sale before you do, that will hurt you, right? So Ramchal says either you should be honest about it and say, hey, listen, this is going to impact me if I tell you the truth. If you can, if you have that type of relationship, be real with them. Or if you can't, so, and the second example, you'll see where you can't really, it's not really so shy to be real with them. So take yourself out of the situation. Right, this comes up a lot, as I just alluded to, in Shidduchim. I very often, not very often, but I would imagine often, let's say you'll have a friend and says, oh, maybe should I go out with that guy? And really, you want to go out with that guy, or you know, vice versa. So person shouldn't say, you shouldn't say, no, that guy's a bum. No, that girl is lousy. Right? That's false. That's sheker. That's usser. Right? You're not going to try and say, listen, I really want to go out with them, so I'm not going to give you good advice. Obviously, no one's going to say that. But you shouldn't say that they're a bum just to throw them off the thing. You should say, I don't know him, or I don't know her, or whatever. Remove yourself from the equation. It's a lav d'oraisa. It's an issur d'oraisa. The Ramchal here quotes it. The pasuk says that there are a bunch of things that are cursed, right? A bunch of actions that are cursed, right? In the Har Grizim, Har Eval. Arur mashge iver badarech. Right? There are a bunch. The Torah says that a person should be cursed. Someone who leads someone down the wrong path, if you mislead someone, that person should have arur, should have a curse upon them. So it's a serious isser to give someone bad advice. And if it's going to impact you, so just step out of the way. There's nothing wrong with saying, I don't know, I'm not sure, not the best person to ask, I don't know them, etc. Now, the Ramchal, just to finish off, there is one exception, and that's if the person is trying to do something that's usser, or something wrong or inappropriate. For example, if someone's trying to get the rabbi of the shul fired, or someone's trying to break up a marriage, or whatever. So, and that's wrong. Meaning, it's not that there's reason. I'm not in a scenario where there's cause or reason to get the rabbi fired or break up the marriage, etc. I'm saying, like, the rabbi's a tzaddik and the marriage is amazing and this guy is trying to be, or this girl's trying to be a bum and a rasha. So there, and if that's the case, so then it says the Ramchal, fascinating, it's a mitzvah to mislead them. And it's a mitzvah to give them bad advice, because the pasuk says, until them, v'mikesh titpatel. Right, that tit patel, that a person should deal intelligently or deal with cunning, as he says over here, with crooked people. I mean, you should that there. Then there is a mitzvah to lead them astray. But I'd imagine that 99% of the advice shilas you're going to get is not a scenario where someone is looking to do harm to someone else. All right, we're going to call it here because he's going to go on to different types of bad speech, rechilus, and hating other people, and he's going to go to shvuas and lying, etc. Yeah, I think, I mean, it's just as good a place as any to call it for today. And Mr. Shem, we'll go back to next week. Great to see everybody. And Hatzlacha with your first week in college and stuff. And we'll be in touch.